الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد جاء آل فرعون النذر
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, today we are going to start reading of the Holy Quran new section. That is section 3 of the 54th chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Qamar, that's chapter of the moon. And the previous section we read the stories about the Ad tribe, the Samud tribe, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then today, inshallah, we are going to hear another story about previous generation of unbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 41, which is the beginning of section 3, said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَلَكَدْ جَاءَ آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ النُّزُرُ The people of Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. The title of his kingship is Pharaoh. But each Pharaoh is having his individual name. So, because the Pharaoh referred to here is not one Pharaoh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the office. It is the nature of the scripture. Scriptures of God, when they come, the scripture is addressing a society or addressing a leadership. Like when we take the previous one, Qawm Nuhin, the Holy Quran addressed them as people of Noah. Possibly, the society doesn't have a king. Otherwise, the Holy Quran will address the king. So we are expecting maybe at the time of Noah, they don't have a king. Or they may have a king, but the king is not having an executive power. Maybe the power is implemented by council or something of that nature. And that is why when the Holy Quran is addressing them, it addresses them with their apostle. So where no leader is found, or the leader is of no significance in the affairs of that society, then the people will not be addressed with the apostle. Qawm Nuhin. The same thing when we come to Lot. Sodom and Gomorrah have leaders, but maybe the leaders are not sovereign leaders. And that is why they are called Qawm Lutin. Qawm Lutin, the people of Lot. But when we come to Ad, it's a powerful tribe. The Holy Quran addressed them as Ad, the tribe of Ad. The same thing with the Samud. Holy Quran addressed them as the tribe of Samud. Now these people, they have a paramount leader, a sovereign leader in the office of Pharaoh. At that time, Egypt was just like USA. It's a superpower of the whole world. There are about 52 kingdoms paying tribute to Egypt, paying their taxes to Egypt. So the Pharaoh is one sovereign leader at that time. So the Holy Quran is addressing the office. That's why the name of the Pharaoh was not mentioned. وَلَكَدْ جَاءَ آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ النُّذُرُ Indeed, the people of Pharaoh, because it's not only Egypt that is under Pharaoh. Egypt is the headquarter. But we have other nations that are paying tribute to Egypt. So all those nations are time under the Pharaoh. So the Holy Quran says the people of Pharaoh were given warnings. the warning of God reached them. And then, what is that warning? The actual peril we are referring to are two perils. One is the one that started the idea of xenophemism, that is, the idea of appetite. The peril that started it is the peril at the time of Moses, alayhi salam, when Moses was born. He was a peril even before Moses was born. And his counselors, they came to the conclusion that Banu Israel, that's the Israelite, who came into Egypt courtesy of Joseph, when Joseph was a prime minister, they came to Egypt and they settled in Egypt and become national of Egypt. They met another tribe in Egypt, the Coptic. The Coptic are the majority tribe who usually produce leaders. So at the time of Joseph, the Israelite and the Coptic are living peacefully. But generation passed. At the time of Pharaoh Ramesses II, he and his counselors look at the thing that Israelites are not original settlers of Egypt. They are what? They are coming as guests. And the Israelites are so productive. They are intelligent and productive. So he was advised that if you allow the Israelites to mingle with us, to take position as we are, to take threats as we are, one day they will take over Egypt. And then there will be a Pharaoh from the Israelites. So the Pharaoh agreed with that, with his counselors, and they started a segregation policy. First, they declared all Israelites as second-class citizens in Egypt. Second-class means they cannot take sensitive offices. They cannot own wealth. They cannot stay on their own. So, the first set of rules are given, and then no Israelite is allowed to take any sensitive office. In fact, throughout the period of the two pharaohs, this one and the other one, the only Israelite that was a council member is Harun. Harun is the only Israelite that was there, and he was there because he was a wealthy person. As time goes on, the Pharaoh look at the Israelites are productive, they multiply their numbers quickly, they are hardworking, and so on and so on. So he wanted to make sure the Egyptians didn't make any mistake in their policy. So he now instructed that, okay, henceforth, all female children of Israelite must be mates in houses of the Coptics. So if you are a female, you may have a house where the owners of the house are your mistress. And each morning you have to report to that house, do work for them, until evening time you go back. That is the work of the female ones. And then the Coptics can marry the female Israelite. But the male Israelite cannot marry a Coptic. They cannot. Then the male children, when they are born, they are useless unless any house accepted them. So if a male child is born, it will be announced, this is a male child born of Israelite. Is there any house in Egypt that want that child? If none of the houses accepted the child will be put to death. The child will be killed. Because they don't want a male child that is not a servant in the house of Coptic to grow and start thinking of forming resistance against the Pharaoh rule. So if a male child will be left to live, he must be attached to a house where he is a slave. And then he will grow in the Coptic way, in the Egyptian way. And he will not be thinking of resisting. That was when Moses, alayhi salam, was born. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed he should be put in a box and thrown into the Nile River. And the Nile River took him to Pharaoh. Reaching there, the wife of Pharaoh, Asiatu binti Muzaffin, saw the child, and then she developed interest because she don't have a child. So, in other words, she asked the Pharaoh, let them adopt this child so that he will not be killed. having known that this is an Israelite. From the cloth he was wrapped in, they know it's an Israelite child. So at the end of the day, Pharaoh agreed and they adopted the Pharaoh into the house of Pharaoh, the royal house. That is what spared Moses from being killed. So they keep on having these policies until when Moses grow and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him an apostle. He sent him to Pharaoh that Pharaoh, Israelites, we agree they are not in Egypt. We are not disputing that. So since they don't belong to your land, allow us to go back to our land so that there will be peace. So he was warned. That is the first warning given to Pharaoh. And that's the warning he refused. The first call, he was called to accept one God to stop worshiping idols. The Egyptians have several idols. In fact, the Pharaoh themselves, according to Egyptian theory, they are gods. That when a Pharaoh die, he transform from human nature and become a god. And go and settle with the god. As long as his body is preserved, he will continue to be god. That's why they don't bury their kings. They mummify them and put them in a tomb, in a very big pyramid, where they thought as long as the body is there, then the Pharaoh will continue to be a god in the heaven.
كذبوا بآياتنا كلها فأخذناهم أخذاً عزيز منتقم مقتدر.
كذبوا بآياتنا كلها فأخذناهم أخذاً عزيز مقتدر. Pharaoh and his council, the second Pharaoh. Moses came back to Egypt and met the second Pharaoh, not the first Pharaoh. But since it is the same office, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing them as the office of Pharaoh. They disbelieve in all the miracle sent to justify that Moses is coming from God Almighty. And that it is God Almighty that is asking Pharaoh to release the Israelites to go to their own city. So that they will not be living here a life which they are second citizens. And then there are women and maids, their males are slaves. The first of the sign is the staff of Moses turning into snake. That was the first. The second, when Moses put his hand inside his cloth and removed it, it will be shining, glowing like a bulb. And when you put it back, it will retain its own natural appearance. That's two. The next one, they were giving a problem of lice. This small insect that used to bite, korkota, lice. They become so plenty, disturb them. And then Pharaoh came to Moses through his counselors and asked that he is going to consider the request. If Moses pray and God remove this trouble to them. And Moses pray, lice are removed. They did not allow the Israelites go. The fifth miracle, frogs. Frogs become everywhere. When you open your room, you will see frog. Your wardrobe, there is frog. Anywhere. In fact, even you close your food, the next time you come to open it to eat, you will see frog inside. Because they were sent by God. And then the Pharaoh and his counselors came to Moses, begging him that they will consider the request. And after the frogs were taken away, they did not. After that one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another affliction upon them, River Nile, turns into blood. Nile is where they get their water for irrigation in their farms, and it is where even they get their drinking water. It turns into blood. So turning into blood means they cannot have a potable drinking water. They also came to Moses and asked they should be spare this affliction and they will consider the request. At the end, they did not consider the request. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, death keep on spreading, killing their children. It will just like a wind. It will be blowing, enter this house, you will hear that the children die. Going to the next house, children die. Going, children die. But all those nine signs that was given to Moses Pharaoh and his council play politics. What is politics? Government that are not sincere, they will tell you, we are going to do. Withdraw. And after you withdraw, they will not do it. So it is Pharaoh that started that. Send his counselors, Moses, remove this affliction upon us, and we are going to consider your request and release the Israelites and let you and your people go. But after the affliction is over, they refuse. So after this nine, they disbelieve. So Pharaoh and his people, they disbelieve all the nine signs sent to them. At the end of the day, since they disbelieve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty and the most high, he hold them in such a way that they will not escape. That was the destruction in River Nile, the Red Sea, Bahru Ahmar. They were all destroyed in Red Sea as the number 10. But that one, they were not given a chance to play politics with it. It's their own destruction.
أكفارٌ خير من أولئك أم لكم براءة في الزبر
أكفاركم خير من أولئك أم لكم براءة في الزبر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Quraysh, that's the people at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَكُفَّارُكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُولَٰئِكَ. Are your unbelievers, the Quraysh, better than those mentioned? Those mentioned are people of Noah, the Ad tribe, the Samud tribe, the people of Lord, and then now the people of Egypt, the people of Pharaoh. Are you better than them? Or have you an immunity in the sacred book? أَمْ لَكُمْ بَرَاءَةٌ فِي الزُّبُرِ. Or is there any scripture out of the 114 that give you immunity that the Quraysh will not be punished by God, even if they disobey an apostle? Is it found in Suhufu Shitu? No, it is not there. Is it found in Suhufu Idris alayhi salam? It was not there either. Is it in Suhufu Ibrahim? No. Is it in the Ten Commandments of Moses? No. Is it in the Torah of Moses? No. Is it in the Psalm of David? No. Is it in the gospel of Jesus Christ? No. Is it in the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Then why are they arrogant? They don't have any immunity given to them in any of those scriptures. And they had generation before them that are better than them are destroyed. If they are looking of sovereignty, there is none like Pharaoh. He established a mighty empire that you cannot stand Egypt at that time. You can't stand him. Can't stand Egypt. And that is why he was considered even a god himself. He says he's the god of Egypt, and all the land paying tribute to Egypt, they should worship him. Yes. If they are talking of heavily built body, are they similar to Ad? The Ad tribe are the giants of the giants. If they are talking of technology, are they as good as the Samud, who used to build their houses out of rock? Are they as good as those? If they are talking of a unity, are they as united as Sodom and Gomorrah, who were good traders, good farmers? But at the end of the day, they were all destroyed because they disobeyed the divine message.
أم يقولون نحن جميعا منتصر
أم يقولون نحن جميعا منتصر. Oh, what is going into the head of the Quraysh disobeying you, Rasulullah? What are they saying? They are united Arab tribes and they are thinking their unity will save them? No. Sodom and Gomorrah are united. But when the destruction comes, all the two were destroyed. Egypt is a mighty kingdom having 52 nations under it. But it was destroyed because they go against the divine message. So what is wrong with the Quraysh that they are disbelieving you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the Quraysh question through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ask them.
Sayyuhuza mujjam wa yualluna dubur.
Sayyuhuza mujjam wa yualluna dubur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if they are thinking they are united Arab, their unity will be broken. And they will all run away even if they are united. That happens at the Fathu Makkah. Where is that unity where Rasulullah marched to Mecca with 124,000 troops? Going through all the gates of Mecca. Where is that united tribes, Arab tribe? Where are they that they cannot come and defend Mecca? Are they in Mecca fell into the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
وَلِسَّاعَةُ مَوْئِدِهُمْ وَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَا وَعَمَرُ
وَلِسَّاعَةُ مَوْئِدَهُمْ The defeat, when Mecca fell, it's not the only defeat they are going to have. Rather, hour of judgment is the time promised to them that any unbeliever today can play, can do whatsoever he wants, as Bush is and as Trump is doing. Do whatsoever you want. But the Saatu Mawidahum. The day they are going to see the result is the hour, the last hour. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even mention the grave. That's to tell you what will happen in the day of judgment is more severe to what is happening in the grave. The grave alone is a lesson to any unbeliever because of what he is going to meet in the grave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consider that one as minor punishment. And the grave is not mentioned as the mu'idahum. As-sa'atu. The last hour, it is the day promised that they will see and they will reap what they sow. Was-sa'atu, the last hour, Adha wa amar. The last hour to these unbelievers is an hour of grief. Adha is an hour of grief. When we say grief, it's the opposite of happiness. It's the hour that they will not be happy even for 1 second. The entire period of that hour is under grief. They will be. Wa amar, and it's an hour of bitterness. So two things were combined. Grief and bitterness. Grief is just sadness. Bitterness is sadness full of regret. Something that can be avoided and then at the end it was not avoided. That is bitter. For instance, somebody was given millions of naira. He was given a safe to keep the money and lock it and nobody will open it. He saw the safe. He refused to put the money. He kept the money on his table and left the house. When he came back, the money was stolen. He will enter two situations. One, he will be sad that his money was stolen. And he will be bitter because it can be avoided. And even he put it in the safe, the money couldn't have been stolen. So those unbelievers on that day, they will have a bitterness of regret. They will regret that this thing can actually be avoided if we listen while we are alive. If we listen to the divine message while we are alive. So all this warning is first given to Quraysh, but is given to us also here. The Holy Quran is talking with everyone. It will talk with the people at that time. And you at this time also is talking to you. From the Holy Quran is addressing you. There will be a day you will regret all what you are doing right now. Stop it and stop following the Israel in killing people of God. And wheresoever you are, any unbeliever that is attacking the message of God, the warning also goes to him. That was Sa'atu Adha, the last judgment day is a day that is going to be full of grief to him. Wa amar, and there will be bitterness of regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being in this group.
إن المجرمين في ضلال وسعر.
إن المجرمين في ضلال وسعر. On the day of judgment, they have what? Adha wa amar. Then in this world also, they are going to be afflicted with two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. One, dalal. You will see their life. It's a life that go astray. It's not a normal life. The life is not normal at all. They themselves, if they see, they will be asking themselves, this life, what am I gaining in it? What will I gain in this particular life? What's all? And it's a life that the brain is not working. They are seen to be mad. They are seen to be people without a sense. They don't think. They don't plan for their life. The biggest planning is to plan for your life after death. Why? Because the life in this world, maximum now is 100 years. What of the next life? No limit. So where are we expected to plan? It is in the next life. Your plan for this is just a temporal plan that will finish. But the planning for the next life is a planning for a life that doesn't have an end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to have good ending and to have a good next life.
يوم يسحبون في النار على وجوههم ذوقوا مس السقر.
يوم يسحبون في النار على وجوههم ذوقوا مس السقر. On that day, you remember, wasa'atu adha wa amar is a day of grief and bitterness. Now, this verse is explaining why it is mentioned as the day of grief and bitterness. Yawma that day asa'atu, yusabuna unbelievers, from the time of that Noah alayhi salam that we had destroyed the Ad, the Samud, the Qawm Lut, the Qawm Alu Fir'auna, the Quraysh who did not believe in Rasulullah, the Israelite now that they are bordering Muslims, the Americans, and all unbelievers, to the last hour, yusabuna, they are going to swim on that day. Swimming? We are talking of grief. Swimming is not enjoyment. Swimming is enjoyment. So the next thing, justify that, which kind of swimming is that? Finnar. They are going to swim inside flame. The fire will make them to go up. It will lift them up inside the flame. And you will see them swimming in the flame. And they will not die. Allah would you hear him? And then they will fall on their pest. And then they will be swimming, the flame is burning them, and they are screaming, shouting they cannot escape. And then the angel will talk to them, they will be instructed by God to talk to them, Zuku Masa Sakar. Yes, the flame of Sakar. Sakar is one of the flames inside the hellfire. We have about 7 flames. Out of them, the first flame that will ignite, and ignite the remaining flame is Jahim. It's the first flame that will be ignited inside the pit. So when it ignites, it will now go and ignite Sakar, ignite Sa'ir, ignite Jahannama. It's the first that will ignite all the rest. And that is why in some verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention Jahim only. Allah la ta'alamuna ilmul yaqeen la tarawunna al-jahim. Had it been we have ilmul yaqeen of the next world, we'll clearly see the Jahim fire igniting the rest of the fire.
Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar.
Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, everything I created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking, everything we created that thing in proportion. There is one more verse, I think. The remaining verses are only 2. Can we not take? Oh, they are more than. They are more than. They are more than. Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadarin. Everything created by God, that thing is created in proportion. The proportion is there. The measurement is there. there is no any error in the proportion and measurement. Take a look at the biology of living things. You will see they are all created in proportion. The habitat you are living, Allah SWT created to fit that habitat. The kind of activity that animal will do, Allah SWT create the body to fit that activity. And then the ecosystem become balanced. So what we read, and we are correct, Allah SWT. What was, I don't know whether there is question. Question? So what we read, and we are correct, Allah SWT. What was? And where we read and err, may Allah SWT forgive us. May Allah SWT reward our teachers who teach us about ulumu diniya. May He reward our shuyukh who give us spiritual training. May Allah SWT give us the blessing of this month Ramadan. All the believing men and women that die from the Nabi Adam and then to the day of judgment, may Allah SWT forgive them their shortcomings and may He grant them Jannah. And may Allah SWT continue to assist us in everything we put forward.
متعما صلاة الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا كرابود يا كرستين يا سرادة يا سيدنا الله جل وعلا تعلم علم تبلي ما تعلم نعم صلى الله عليه سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أقول بركات من الله سبحانه صلى الله عليه وعلى هذه إلى سرعة المستقيم وعلى هذه فقد يوم جل الله سبحانه ربك رب العزة والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.